WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The founder of the failed cryptocurrency exchange FTX is in custody. Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested in the Bahamas at the request of U.S. authorities. BBC News' David Willis reports.
At least $1 billion of customer funds are said to have vanished. So there are a lot of people with questions about what happened to their money, and we were expecting to get some answers to those questions when Bankman-Fried gave testimony to a congressional committee on Tuesday. Well, now that won't be happening because he's in custody.
Storms are in the forecast across the country this week. Northern California is digging out from a massive snowstorm. KFKB's Jensen Rader reports.
The mountain regions along the Sierra Nevadas and Southern Cascades seeing 2 to 5 feet of snow in the peak of the storm. Interstate 80 has since reopened after multiple car spinouts and poor visibility. Chain requirements are still active as crews work to clear the lanes. But as snow and rain drop off, a cold snap is approaching. Warming centers are gearing up for peak overnight lows in the upper 20s to mid 30s throughout this week.
The National Weather Service says heavy snow and blizzard conditions are expected in the Great Plains and Midwest tonight and stretching into Thursday. By tomorrow, severe wind, hail, and tornadoes are possible in Texas and northern Louisiana. Today marked the first U.S. court appearance for the man suspected of making the bomb that took down Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland, over 30 years ago. Abu Aguila Mohammed Massoud asked the judge for a week to hire a lawyer. More from CBS's Catherine Harris.
U.S. officials won't say how Massoud was taken into U.S. custody, but if he is convicted, he faces a maximum sentence of life in prison and a $250,000 fine.
The boyfriend of a woman who died after being shot during a botched police raid has settled two lawsuits. CBS's Peter King.
Kenneth Walker sued the city of Louisville, Kentucky after the death of his girlfriend, Breonna Taylor, in a phony drug bust. Officers were trying to burst through the door to her apartment with a battering ram. Walker fired, believing the officers were intruders. They fired back, killing Taylor. It turned out that at least one officer falsified the warrant linking Taylor to a known drug dealer. Kenneth Walker will receive a settlement of $2 million from the city. Peter King, CBS News.
A U.S. EPA report says fuel economy for the 2021 model year vehicles in the U.S. stayed flat with 2020 as people continue to buy less efficient trucks and SUVs. The fleet of new vehicles got just over 25 miles per gallon for the model year, while greenhouse gas emissions dropped slightly. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40-by-60-foot building or a 50-by-100 clear span building at end-of-the-year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, December 13th. The Human Resources Committee in Wisconsin Rapids will meet at 2 p.m. in the first floor conference room at City Hall. The McMillan Memorial Library Services Committee will meet at 4:30 p.m. in the McCourt Conference Room at McMillan Memorial Library, 490 East Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. In Portage County, the Tourism Commission meeting will be held at 7:30 a.m. in the Community Room, 933 Michigan Avenue, Stevens Point. In Adams County, the Workplace Safety meeting will take place from 2 to 3:30 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse, and the Solid Waste Committee meeting will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. at Adams County Solid Waste and Recycling. In sports, Badgers volleyball lost to Pitt on Saturday 2-3. San Diego versus Texas and Pittsburgh versus Louisville NCAA semifinals will begin on December 15th. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 9 a.m. Thursday. Overcast overnight with lows around 29. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 36, tomorrow cloudy. 32 tomorrow night, mixed precipitation likely. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
What I didn't realize is how similar our journey has been.
I moved to Los Angeles and they sent me out on the road is what they did. You know, I did an all gay comedy special and they sent me out to do comedy clubs in like Idaho. And openers for me who were talking about hunting, and I'm sitting in the back going, oh my God, I gotta get together my best hunting material. I do. What do I love about hunting? I love the outfits. I'll talk about it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Happy Monday. Hello, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Oshkosh, Richland Center, our home base of Waukesha, Madison Tonight, everyone streaming on the app or on TuneIn or Alexa, and everyone listening to the podcast later, and especially a good morning, happy Monday to my very good friend, sidekick, couldn't do this without you, Jane Madner.
Well, thank you so much, my friend.
How are you feeling?
Well, We're having some mouth issues.
You are having some mouth issues.
I'm having some dental issues, yes.
Which is truly one of the most annoying things in life, is just the sometimes sharp, sometimes dull, but always annoying mouth pains.
Yes. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it until you can get in to see the person with the implements. So we are doing that later on this afternoon.
Well, that sounds
I'm
less
so
fun.
Excited. Yes. So, yay.
And we were both, I don't know if you're recovering as much as I am, but we had our Christmas party.
Saturday night.
That was very fun. But that meant that I had a bar crawl in Madison before. And this is part of being a supportive wife. Because the bar crawl was not just for fun. It was my husband's.
He's an event planner.
He's an event planner, and he does bar crawls. And it turned out very well that both his scheduled bar crawl in Madison happened to be the same day that our Civic Media Christmas party was also going to be in Madison. And so we didn't have to make multiple trips. But it also meant that there was a long, extended period of drinking for the two of us. And I am not a spring chicken, yeah. And so I am still feeling that today.
You did admirably well, both of you, I thought.
Oh, good. We've had a lot of practice.
Yeah. Well, practice makes perfect, you know.
Well, we will talk a little bit more about that and kind of my lament as far as how much I wish a certain something could have gotten us to and from Madison. But we have a great show today at 11:30. We'll do the roundup of certain headlines that caught my eye today. At 12 p.m., Dan Schaefer from the Repopulation Area is going to join us, and we're going to talk more about the ongoing campaign and push to try to let Milwaukee have its own sales tax as we are staring down the barrel of
fiscal cliff.
Very, very bad fiscal cliff. And then at 12:30, Dan is actually going to take over the host chair because I have to go to my cousin's funeral. which I am probably going to spend a little bit more time tomorrow talking about that and talking about how, you know, his legacy and stuff and kind of more details because I want to get through today.
Right.
But I think even on Thursday with Dr. Mike in that segment, we may do a special segment, still set up my lineup, but kind of just to dealing with grief during the holidays, because I think that's something that more people than you think deal with, whether it's someone going through stuff in the right now, or just grief in general for people who've passed a long time ago, because grief is not linear, and it feels especially pointed, I think, for a lot of people during this month. And so that might be our focus with Thursday with Dr. Mike. But you will be in very good hands with Dan. He's going to be talking to Evan Goyke, who is a current state representative, but just announced his campaign for Milwaukee City Attorney in 2024. And I'm kind of bummed I'm missing that conversation because I have thoughts on the current Milwaukee City Attorney, Spencer.
Oh, yes, Tierman Spencer.
And how he's been running that
How many lawyers have we lost since Tierman has been in office?
I don't know the number offhand, but
it's up there.
It's up there. It's up there. And I'm sure they'll go over that a little bit today as far as potentially the reason why Representative Goyke thinks it's important to get someone else in that chair. But stay tuned for that. That's going to be at 12:30. And at 1 p.m., Dan has Tanya Finesca, who is the from the Milwaukee Department of City Development, and they're talking about the new downtown 2040 plan. And then at 1:30, he's talking to reporter Allison Garfield from the Cap Times to talk about the Amtrak plans for Amtrak starting in Madison. Because this plan, which is, you know, died a political death under Scott Walker, sounds like it's potentially trying to get some legs again. And I'm just going to talk about it now, too, because I'm sure it'll be a little bit more detailed with Allison and Dan at 1:30. But having just gotten back from Madison, and I actually have to go to Madison again tomorrow because I've yet to find I'm very picky about my hair stylist, and I found someone who's very good at cutting curly hair in Madison. Shout out to Whitney at Curlbound, but don't book with her because she's very busy. And so I have to go back to Madison tomorrow. And, you know, the drive to Madison is from Milwaukee. I-94 is very straightforward.
And it's a great road.
It's a great road, and it's really not bad, but you know, we've had Ryan Martin on the show before, who is the anger professor at UW Green Bay. And in his TED Talk, talking about anger and what makes us anger, you know, he talks about how you had to create a game that was specifically trying to invoke anger and get you to feel that feeling, the game would look a lot like driving.
Oh.
And so the truth is, like, and I, you know, driving from Milwaukee to Waukesha every day. And so, like, If there was opportunity to have a train that connects Milwaukee to Madison, and not only just those, like, no stops, all of the cities, whether it's Waukesha,
Johnson Creek,
Watertown, like, so Pewaukee, like, getting to and from, getting downtown, you know, people who live in the burbs of Milwaukee, a faster way to get downtown to enjoy a Bucks game or a Brewers game or something like that. But then for a lot of us, if you're going to a Badger game and you're in Milwaukee, then you reduce drunk driving. And then, you know, think really big, a train from Milwaukee to Green Bay. And so all these drunk shuttle buses, you replace it with a train station of people trying to get to and from different, you know, the major cities of Wisconsin and investing in public transit. And so this, because of some federal funds, this conversation has been reignited coming out of Madison. But guess who has already said there will be no state dollars to fund this project if it goes through?
Let me guess. His first name starts with R.
It does.
It does. And his last name starts with V.
It does.
Oh, it's Robin Voss.
It is. So he went on record last week saying he promised he would not support this plan by providing any state funding for the project. And I just, why? If you have an argument of why we should not do this, let us know. 844-967-2789. I know this has political background as far as Scott Walker killing the deal that was originated under Governor Doyle's tenure. And there was, what, like $800 million that was earmarked to potentially make this happen. And it was just killed because, you know, that money was, they argued the money should go to roads. But I feel like I wasn't living here at that point, but I feel like some of it was like that money couldn't have gone to roads anyways, because all this money kind of gets funneled into one thing or the other. So now it sounds like there is federal money again with the infrastructure bill to try to reignite this idea of trying to connect Milwaukee to Madison with a train. And then that could also connect to the Twin Cities and all the way down to Chicago, and making life a little bit easier for people who are trying to get around in the major Midwest cities. It looks like it's going to not get any support from the state legislature to move forward with this. And I just don't understand why. Like, good reasons, not political reasons, good reasons.
I don't know. Maybe we should call someone from the WMC and they could explain it, because it certainly sounds like a lot of the policies that our Republican-led legislature goes with originate from the WMC.
I don't understand. I don't understand why this would not be a good idea as far as, I mean, different mayors, the mayor from Watertown signed on to this, the mayor from Pewaukee signed on to this earlier in 2022. And it just feels like it would benefit all of the major towns and cities that are on I-94. It has more benefits than just the people who are in Milwaukee and Madison. I know that there's certain Republican legislators who like to stick it to those towns, but it feels like it benefits a lot more people, especially people potentially who are still commuting into Milwaukee. And so if there was a way to get from Waukesha to downtown Milwaukee, maybe we wouldn't have to expand I-94 to 8 lanes over by AmFam Field. And I understand that there's certain like last mile considerations of, well, if you take a train, how do you get from the train station to wherever you're going in Madison or vice versa in Milwaukee? But ultimately, like, there are Ubers, there are buses, and so you don't always need a car to get from one place to the other if we actually just all agreed that there's other ways to do this. And then you don't have to worry about parking downtown, which I know people in the burbs love to complain about going downtown and the lack of parking. And guess what? You don't even have to park. You can take the hop, because the other thing that everyone seems to hate so much. Have you ever ridden the hop?
I haven't.
That was my bachelorette party. We did a hop.
Oh, that's perfect.
Speaking about a bar crawl. But we took the hop from downtown Milwaukee and jumped on and jumped off and went to different bars, which is fun. It's very nice.
They look great.
They look great.
They really do.
So, yeah. So if you have any reasons, if you can understand why this should not get support, let us know. 844-967-2789. Because there is not a single argument I can understand of why this wouldn't be a good thing.
You ever get the feeling sometimes that some of our lawmakers don't really care if what they do is good for the people that they allegedly represent?
I do get that feeling sometimes. All right. Well, we are going to take our first break, but we're going to if anyone lets us know if they have a strong opinion on this, we will take your call. Otherwise, the next story I want to talk about is a politician who was finally relatable without having to make a TikTok. This is not a Wisconsin politician, but it is the first Gen Z politician in a certain tweet that, I want to talk about because I think it has bigger ramifications. So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Day 42, Wednesday, 40, Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 34 degrees.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts, be it Apple, Spotify, Stitcher. We still need to get Jane on the podcast train.
Yes.
I feel like there's so much out there. Do you do audiobooks at all?
I don't. I like books.
You like books. I feel that. What do you listen to in the car? The radio?
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yes. News. I listen to news.
All right.
Most of the time.
Yeah. But we're on there. You can listen to us as a podcast. And so You should subscribe to us too and rate us. That's the thing that they always say on the podcast is subscribe, rate, and share. So if you're doing any of those things, we would really appreciate it. And as always, you can join the conversation live, 844-967-2789. So, did you hear about the story of Maxwell Frost from Florida, who is the first Gen Z to serve in Congress, or will be the first member of the Gen Z generation to serve in Congress?
I know of him, yes.
So, you know, it was big deal as far as he won his seat in Florida. I think he's only 25.
That's what I was going to say.
So really young, even younger than AOC was when she was first elected. I think she was 28. And at that time, she was the youngest member of Congress. And this weekend, as he's preparing to live in D.C., he tweeted out that he was denied an apartment in Washington, D.C. because of his bad credit. And, you know, despite telling his apartment rep that he had a credit problem and being assured that everything would be fine, he's 26. So 26-year-old Frost, he still lost the apartment and his $50 application fee. And his credit issue, which I think when we say is relatable, he's relatable other than making a TikTok, is, you know, at 26, first of all, you probably haven't had credit for that long. I think even me going on 20 years, one of the things where my lower part of my credit score is like length of credit. And I think I got my first credit card at like 17 or 18.
Oh, wow.
Still, you know, it's still not as strong as if I was in my 50s or whatever. And so, but he's 26. And he quit his full-time job to run his campaign, which I think anyone who I have never run a law, especially a long-term like congressional state campaign, the amount of all-in-ness that a campaign like that takes, and being able to have a full-time job and run a congressional campaign is not likely going to lead you to succeeding.
Right.
And so his credit issue came because he had to quit his full-time job and like the half the campaign season leading up to the election. And so he brought on debt, right? And so he quit his full-time job. He dedicated himself to running his campaign. He won, but he still has this debt problem that he's trying to take care of. But now that he won, he has to move to DC and he has to try to get an apartment. And he's getting denied. And, you know, soon he'll have a $174,000 salary to start paying off his debt. But I feel like this story, there's multiple things that it highlights that are a problem. One, that the housing market continues to hinge on credit scores and not just taking out a loan to buy a house, but even that being a barrier entry to rent. And so it's like the chicken or the egg of, you know, how do you get a better credit score without having credit? But then, you know, to have better credit, you need to take on debt. And so landlords are relying heavily on credit scores. And there's all of these problems that arise with that, including like racial bias and them being inaccurate and one bad thing kind of leading to your credit score getting dinged. And, you know, the pseudoscience that makes up how you get your credit score. And then also the fact that it's difficult for politicians to secure housing in D.C. unless they have family money. D.C. is expensive. It's expensive, similar to New York, similar to San Francisco, Chicago, New York, L.A. It's a major U.S. city that is certainly seeing the same problems as far as not having a ton of supply of affordable apartments or other housing. And that was actually something that AOC back in 2018, when she went from being a bartender to needing to move to D.C., she raised this issue then, too. And also, I feel like it highlights who gets to run for office. Obviously, the answer to that is anyone, but not really, without taking on a huge amount of risk. Because say he lost, right? Say he lost, and he took on that much debt, he quit his full-time job, and then he wasn't going to get this $174,000, you know, which is a lot of money.
Yes.
But the risk of quitting your job in order to run for public office, and it becomes very easy for incumbents to do that because they're literally getting paid. They're not, you know, they're not allowed to campaign on the time that they're supposed to be in, you know, at the Capitol via that in Madison or DC, but they're still getting a paycheck despite, you know, and not having to take time off their full-time job, or at least an opportunity just for people who are independently wealthy, who don't have to work, to be able to run. And so it leaves people who are willing to run and the sacrifice and risk of no income just in order to run. And then if they lose, then what?
Yeah, it's a huge gamble.
And we want, you know, I feel like Mandela's campaign touched on this a little bit, because one of the things that Republicans tried to ding with him is him not paying his property taxes, him being late on paying his property taxes. But, you know, I have not now, but I've had payment plans for my taxes and like had to pay incremental because I was like, well, I was freelancing and I forgot to save the money that I was making to be able to pay my taxes at the end of the year. And so like, this is a bigger deal and I think deserves more attention for a lot of reasons besides just him saying, I have a bad credit score. Like, that's not the end of the story. And so, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. But we'll have some more headlines when we come back. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
WAU. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the Civil Engineers. Linda and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine. Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this Civic Media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks?
Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Wisconsin Health Services Secretary Karen Timberlake says she'll resign on January 2nd. Timberlake led Wisconsin through crises like the COVID-19 pandemic and a statewide hospital worker shortage. The Republican Party of Wisconsin has a new leader and a new fundraising strategy. Brian Schimming was elected as state party chairman over the weekend. Schimming will be the first paid Wisconsin GOP chair. Republicans are trying to counter the fundraising advantage Democrats have enjoyed under a paid statewide chair. Foxconn has accomplished the benchmark for $8.6 million in tax credits and subsidies. The Evers administration says Foxconn created almost 770 jobs and spent more than $77 million on its plant near Racine. In April of 2021, the state revised the contract with Foxconn and created more realistic goals for job creation by the end of 2025 to about 11% of the original plan. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 9 a.m. Thursday. Overcast overnight with lows around 29. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. High of 36, tomorrow cloudy. 32 tomorrow night, mixed precipitation likely. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
There was two big moon stories, basically. Not just one, but two. So the route to and from the moon was particularly busy yesterday, because on the same day as the historic mission, Artemis completed its lunar voyage, another began its moon-bound journey. And so yesterday, NASA's Orion capsule cannonballed back into the atmosphere, successfully completing a 25-day mission around the moon. And it literally cannonballed. This is one of those times it would be good to have Bob Bonadour back.
Right.
Because, it's hard for me to imagine, like, to wrap your head around how fast this thing was going. So Orion re-entered the Earth's atmosphere at 25,000 miles per hour, or 32 times the speed of sound.
Wow.
Is how fast it was going.
Wow.
And so two sets of parachutes slowed it down all the way down to 20 miles per hour when it splashed into the Pacific Ocean. That's how these things come back to Earth. Isn't that incredible? This is the best that we have so much science to get it up out there, and the best we can do to get it back is crash into the middle of the ocean safely.
Throw a big sheet behind it, and hopefully it'll slow it down.
Exactly. And so, but everything seemingly went according to plan. And so this is, to put context around this, this is like the first human attempt to get back to the moon in 50 years. And this is, Orion specifically, is part of the first mission stemming from NASA's Artemis program, which is aiming to plop humans on the moon regularly as soon as 2025. And so this one was uncrewed, so there was no people on this one. Artemis 2 is going to have humans and a crew on board, and that's in 2024. And then Artemis 3 is the quote-unquote holy grail, and that's when NASA is going to attempt to land humans on the moon again. But given all the moving parts, it'll be a shock if it happens by 2025, apparently. But flip side. Actually, this is a fun fact. Orion splashed down yesterday, and it was 50 years to the day since astronauts were last on the moon.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. But SpaceX, you know, Elon Musk, as we call him here, you know, his company that was doing very well, and it was like very exciting before he decided to take over Twitter. Hours before Orion splashed down, the SpaceX rocket blasted off carrying a lunar lander made by Japanese company iSpace. And so if the iSpace vehicle makes a successful landing, it'll be the first time a private company has accomplished that feat. It's the first time a private company will be in space and land on the moon. To date, only the U.S., China, and Russia has completed what's called soft landings on the moon. And so it's not going to happen for months. While Orion only took like 25 days to get there, iSpace's mission is taking the avoid tolls, quote unquote, route on Google Maps to conserve energy. And it's not expected to land on the moon until April of next year.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's some space stories for you.
What are we going to do up there? I mean, with this people lander, which is Artemis 3?
Yeah.
What, are we going to go for picnics? Or, I mean, what's going on up there?
I don't know. I mean, because it's not going to change you still have to wear a spacesuit if you're going to just, like, hang out.
There's no atmosphere there.
And so I don't know if there's plans to colonize it. That's where we're all planning to live when we can't live here anymore. Which, speaking of that, Winter Olympics 2030, they're dragging their feet on picking a location because it's unclear of what the warmer temperatures and climate change is going to do to the typical places where we would have a Winter Olympics. And so because of climate change, warmer temperatures, snow texture, rain, and ice determine what is safe for competition. And it's uncertain which locations are going to be reliable by 2030.
Well, look at what happened in Sochi, yeah. Russia, which was not that long ago. And Russia used to be pretty reliably cold and snowy.
Yeah.
And that's not the case anymore.
I know. And so in the running right now is Salt Lake City and Sapporo, Japan. But it could be a host rotation if the conditions aren't met as far as understanding like what it could look like, which, you know, 2030 doesn't feel that long, like far off. It's 7 years, and obviously a lot can happen in 7 years, but that is an unexpected externality as far as planning ahead when it comes to being able to play in the snow.
No doubt.
So, but then other sports headlines. Morocco. Did you know Morocco was in Africa?
I did.
I had a conversation this weekend with someone who thought I was in the Middle East. And so I was like, well, you know, we're not always great at geography, but Morocco, North African country makes history as they are the first, both first Arab nation and first African nation to make it to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, which I didn't realize. I mean, because I feel like in most African countries, like soccer is in most of the world, it's such a big deal. And I didn't realize that, you know, despite how good Senegal and different countries have been, that this is the first time an African country has made it to the last four.
Yeah, that's crazy. And considering, too, you know, all these teams have players from all over the world.
Yes.
So they're very diverse.
Totally. So they beat, it was a major upset against Portugal, Cristiano Ronaldo. And his pretty face, likely his last time, similar to Messi, I think, but Messi has moved on from Argentina, but Ronaldo, I think people are expecting this is probably his last World Cup. And so he did not make it to the quarterfinals or the semifinals.
They were getting all kinds of criticism for putting him in.
Were they?
Yes.
Why?
Because he did not perform up to standards.
Mm.
And there was speculation that they just put him in because it's Ronaldo and it'll be his last time. Oh, for footy ball.
Similarly, did you and Paul watch the England game on Saturday?
He told me the results.
Was he not very happy?
He expected it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So he wasn't surprised.
Well, we're talking, of course, about Jane's husband, Paul, is in... British man.
Yes.
Obviously, so he was cheering for England, but England lost to France 2-1. And there is just something, I was watching that game, and there's just something about the France-England rivalry that dates back to like the 1300s.
Oh, yeah.
That is something so epic about those games. And like, obviously, the stakes are much less than it was during the 100-year war. But
don't tell that to soccer fans.
No, you could just tell. I mean, obviously, you always want your team to win, but I feel like having dated someone who was French, it is extra sweet when whoever wins those games really takes it to heart a little bit more than other games.
Yeah, they have long, long memories about those old wars.
So Argentina is going to play Croatia, and Croatia is considered the underdog in that game. And Morocco will play France. And then we will have the final game, I think, next Sunday. I think is the final one. And so,
boy, if Morocco can knock off France, that would really be quite something.
If it ends up being a Morocco-Croatia, I would not be mad if it was a Morocco-Croatia final.
Two underdogs?
Yeah. I feel like for me, at least, whenever my team is out, it's very easy to just root for the underdog. As far as whoever my second favorite team just becomes who's the least likely to win, because
sure,
they become the most fun to cheer for. Will you watch those games, or have you been just like,
No. No.
Do you have, like, of the sports you will watch, I know you're not a huge sports fan, but which one do you find the most tolerable or most entertaining, depending on how you want to frame it?
That's a very interesting question. Do I find them entertaining? Probably football.
All right. Not basketball?
No. I mean, I feel positively inclined to the same degree for all of them. How's that for being magnanimous?
It's great.
Okay.
It's great, Jade.
completely noncommittal.
Yeah, exactly. And then the last one is a very sad story, but I feel like deserves to be acknowledged, which was on Friday, Andre Cross, U.S. Postal Service worker, was killed. And
in Milwaukee.
And it doesn't sound like there's been any more details as far as the situation, what happened. I don't think there's a suspect, but he was on duty, and it was dark because it was as early as 5 p.m., but because of this time of the year, it was dark out, and he was delivering the mail on the north side of Milwaukee and was shot. And by the time I think police responded to the call, he was declared dead. But the agency, the U.S. Postal Inspection Service out of Chicago is offering a reward up to $50,000 for information that leads to the arrest and conviction of those involved. And, you know, it's always hard because for our show, I never know what crime-related stories to bring up. Because obviously I think that's a lot of other shows do cover homicides and when they pop up. But this one just felt like, you know, the friendship and bond I think a lot of people create with their U.S. Postal Service person. I know growing up, Terry was ours in Madison. And I actually don't know. I think it's because I'm always here. So I have not met my mail carrier in my neighborhood now. But there's just something about this that feels extra awful.
Absolutely.
Just someone trying to do their job. And you just do not expect something like this to happen. And, you know, it's a public servant.
And you just have to wonder, was this just some rando shooting out a window? You know, or was it?
I know.
We're just so cavalier about life right now.
And I think that's maybe what it is. It's like, I don't know how I've yet to learn as a person who has a platform, a person who has a radio show, how to thoughtfully talk about the loss of life in this way without just piling on of like, it's awful. It's always awful, no matter if it's someone who gets killed in the line of duty, whether it's a child, whether it's someone who, you know, anyone, right? Like, it's still loss of life. And how to talk about these stories with any kind of nuance and understanding and, like, honoring those people without it just getting clumped into more crime in a city that is, you know, I love Milwaukee, and it certainly has its own issues, and I think this will feed into the conversation that we have around with when Dan gets here as far as how does Milwaukee get better? Well, some of how Milwaukee gets better and has the resources to curb crime and also has the resources to curb desperation, because the overlap of poverty and people doing like terrible things is pretty great, right? And so the poverty levels and desperation levels has a high correlation to crime. And so being able to have the city have different avenues to raise revenue, thus meaning that there's more resources for emergency services, but also for people to not end up in situations where they don't, you know, they have no long foresight into their future, which also correlates to crime, right? Of just like living till tomorrow instead of having something like an actual future to look forward to. And so I just wanted to spend a couple minutes at least acknowledging that this happened on Friday, because it is such a sad story. Everyone who's remembered this person, Andre Cross, has said that he was a kind, caring person. And so
condolences to his family.
Condolences to his family, condolences to his coworkers. And that's about it. And so, all right, well, a little happier news when we come back, as far as the human rights campaign and some new cities that are
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crudités at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were crudy takes.
Crudy takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
34 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
Told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She rolled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love hearing from you. We love getting topic ideas as far as things that are happening in your community that we may not know that's happening. And so if you have an idea for a topic or a guest, or if you have feedback, you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. Or, as always, you can text and call in 844-967-2789. So this was some good news. You know, we've had a couple different people from the Human Rights Campaign in Wisconsin on the show before. And so we've talked about their Municipal Equality Index, which is a score that they give to cities across the country as far as how those cities are rated in their inclusion and equity and equality of the LGBTQ community in those cities. And so since 2018, Wisconsin cities have been taking steps to be more inclusive. And so they just came out, they being the Human Rights Campaign, just came out with their new scores. And they get these scores by surveying laws and policies of cities. And then they give a grade based on what improvement there's been and what kind of
changes have been made.
Yeah. And so of these seven Wisconsin cities that were surveyed in both 2018 and 2022, all but two saw scores increase. And the only two, the good news about this is the way that that's phrased, you'd think, oh, well, there's two that didn't make any improvement. Well, no, it's more that the two municipalities, Madison and Milwaukee, that didn't make any improvement, couldn't make any more improvement because they were already at 100. And so the score is like the most you can get is 100. And so on average, Wisconsin cities scored 87 out of 100 points. And that's almost 20 points higher than the national average of 68.
Wow.
Which I thought was pretty good.
That is good.
And so some of the measures, like what actually increases your score? Or like what do cities need to be focused on? So they include but are not limited to banning conversion therapy, creating non-discrimination ordinances, and ensuring law enforcement reports hate crimes to the FBI. And so this was the biggest gain from 2018 to 2022. And the big two huge gains were Green Bay and Racine. And Green Bay went from 28 to 90.
They what? Wait, what?
Green Bay's score increased from 28 to 90.
Wow.
Which over the last 4 years. And Racine's jumped from 41 to 100.
Wow.
And so in Green Bay, some of the efforts that they made was creating an equal rights commission, approving a non-discrimination ordinance, and establishing a pride team at the Green Bay Police Department. And then in Racine, their mayor, Corey Mason, said he only learned of the city's low score 3 days after he took office in 2017. And so they've been working hand in hand with the Human Rights Campaign and local activists to make Racine more inclusive. In 2019, they banned conversion therapy, at least for anyone who's, that's weird. They banned conversion therapy for anyone who's under 18 years of age. Is that I didn't know there was conversion therapy for people over 18.
Well,
I guess it becomes an opt-in situation.
At that point, it's voluntary, right?
Yeah, I guess. But they also updated their non-discrimination laws to include language for gender identity. And in Oshkosh is one that they had a score of 52, and now it's 78. So that's an increase. And up there, one of the things that they changed is their common council passed a resolution in support of a statewide ban on conversion therapy. The resolution doesn't ban conversion therapy in the city, but was more to send a signal to the community. And so I thought that was some good news.
Hey, moving in the right direction.
Moving in the right direction across the state. And so one thing that was interesting is what one of the reps from the Human Rights Campaign said as far as one of the biggest things any municipality in the state can do is pass a non-discrimination ordinance that includes language specifically pertaining to gender identity. Because in the current state law, when it comes to non-discrimination, it is it's only on the basis of sexual orientation, not gender identity.
Okay.
So I think this has to do with trans rights versus because how you identify as your sexual, your gender is different than who you are attracted to, meaning which sex you're attracted to.
Okay.
Or gender you're attracted to, I should say. And so yeah, so I thought that was really good news as far as I almost feel like it's one of those things that you should not be able to get 100 on.
You should always strive for better.
You know what I mean? When they said that as far as Madison and Milwaukee was already at a point where they already had 100. And so it's like, it feels like one of those things there's always going to be able to, for room for improvement. And it also makes me think, is there anything that exists like this as a score for race?
Interesting.
Because it's interesting in comparison of, you know, I think, we all know that Milwaukee and Racine, year over year, are largely considered two of the worst places to be black. And due to segregation, due to different outcomes, schools, a lot of different things that lead into that. So it would be interesting to compare that if there was any group that did the work similar to Human Rights Campaign to put actual scores on. And it also just goes back to the question of how there's been so many gains in the LGBTQ community in my lifetime. And not that there's not there's a continued threat to their rights, as we see, as we just talked last week about the Respect for Marriage Act being passed, but also how many gains there's been in a shorter period of time than when it comes to race and racism. And I'm sure there you could write entire papers. I'm sure entire papers have been written on why, what difference there's been and why one has made so much more movement than the other. My theory, that I don't know if it's been proven or not, is because I think as it became more accepted to be gay, there was more of an opportunity that anyone, all of a sudden, someone they loved came out of the closet. And it's harder to have those, that the legacy of redlining and segregation and not having access to people who are quote unquote others versus your cousin or your aunt or your brother. And you having to be confronted with your own bias with someone that you is already in your life.
In your family.
That sometimes race doesn't always create that kind of proximity to have you be forced to kind of change your perspective on your own bias. So that's my theory. I have no idea. I'm sure there's other ones that exist.
We'll look for papers on that.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area will be here. And we'll talk a little bit more about Milwaukee. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, That's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and
the WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.